Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, March 6, 2015. And with me today, I have the always beautiful Brian Chaffin. How are you?
You apparently have not met me. But I'm doing well.
I have met you. And I think I'm totally qualified to say you are beautiful.
All right.
Sometimes you just have to accept the compliment. Also, the amazingly wonderful Kelly Gumont.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey. It's great to have both of you here today.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Yep. A couple weeks ago, we had Cocotec as our sponsor. And so they have now given us a discount code to share with everyone in case you've hit that point where you're like, oh, almost done with the trial version and time for me to pay for the real thing. So regularly priced, it is $39.95. They have a 25% discount if you use the code TDO.
Nice.
So it brings it down to $29.95. And just head on over to their website, cocotec.com, and get yourself an awesome discount on Pathfinder 7. And we have some interesting things to take a look at today. First, Apple started releasing videos at the end of last week that show how to use various features on the Apple Watch, which won't be available until the end of the month. And they're actually pretty cool, and they remind me so much of what Apple did with the iPhone when that was coming up. As I recall, Apple gave us a bunch of videos showing us how to perform various things on the new iPhone, so we'd know.
When you've come up with entirely new ways to do things, new ways to interact with the device and get information, we need these videos. You know, we don't need a how-to. We don't need a bunch of general how-tos on iPhones today, but that's only because now they've just become so commonplace.
But that's true.
But the Apple Watch is an entirely new device with an entirely new interface and an entirely new, and I know you hate this word, but I think that it's appropriate here, entirely new paradigms on how to get information, how to interact with your device. And it's all really interesting. And the how many, I guess there's what, three videos up so far?
Yeah, three, and there's spots for seven more.
Yeah, they're grayed out. But clearly they're coming. They'll probably be released over the next few days. Mm-hmm. And it's good stuff.
Yes, and it has the added bonus of not only training us, but giving us great little like mini ads showing off features to whet our appetites and make us want to buy an Apple Watch even more. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Now, along with that, we also have the whole thing about how does the pre-order and the purchase process work. And we've talked a little bit about this, but I think we should give people some clarification. And sorry about that. Apparently, there's a microphone in my face. I just bounced off of it. Wow. So we have pre-orders that start at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time on Friday the 10th. And you'll be able to go to the Apple website and place an order through there at the Apple Store. Or you can use the Apple Store app on your iPhone or iPad to place a purchase. So what I'm expecting is that when we sit down at our computers or pull our iPhones off the nightstand so that we can place our order, this isn't something we're going to be able to just do very quickly, roll back over, and go back to sleep. We should expect that we're going to be up for a while.
And that's judging on the pre-order process for the last two iPhones.
Right.
So the 5S and the 6.
Right. Both of which kept me up late and had me actually stressed because I couldn't tell if I'd placed an order or not because we weren't even getting our confirmation emails back after we had an on-screen confirmation saying your order had been placed. So we really didn't know if they'd actually gone through until hours later.
Right. And there was lots of reloading for people and lots of like the site not loading for people and all manner of difficulties as Apple struggled to keep up with the with that initial volume. And then some of us were just able to sort of like kind of sheen in the next day and then just kind of casually order one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Jerk.
But you know the most popular model, the gold one, I don't know if that's the most popular one, but the one that was available in the least quantities at the very least, gold and the silver ones were both sold out pretty quickly too. And we have no idea which Apple Watch model is going to be the most popular and which people are going to be the most interested in and how Apple's prioritized the manufacturing. The same thing is like if the initial demand exceeds the initial supply, expect hassles. I guess that's my point.
I think that we should go in expecting hassles so that we can be pleasantly surprised if we don't have them. Which I guess is kind of a negative way to go into this, but Apple has a track record for the pre-order process with the past couple iPhones, and I'm expecting that we'll have a little bit of frustration because there will be a lot of people that want to order these right at midnight.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more page loads too, right? The servers are actually going to get hit harder for this because there are so many more options for people to think about.
Oh, that's a really good point.
When they're ordering this stuff, so you know we have no idea what Apple has done since the. Well, okay, there's another thing, too. There are not going to be as many people ordering an Apple Watch as there were people ordering an iPhone 6. So Apple actually may be able to keep up with this just fine.
Oh, that's a good point. And so what it may come down to is how much inventory is Apple allocating for pre-orders? So will there be enough to accommodate all the people that are going to get up at midnight to order theirs? Well, for me, 1 in the morning. Since I'm on Mountain Time instead of Pacific Time,
right?
Yeah, but then we have the follow up to that, which is what happens on April 24th when you can go into a store and buy one. And we've already had sources that have talked to us and said that everyone that comes into the store needs to have an appointment, but that there will be appointments set aside for walk-ins. So if you haven't set your appointment online before the 24th, you can go in, and if they still have some of their extra appointments available, they'll sign you up. It doesn't mean you get to look at a watch that minute. It might be a few hours right. later.
Come back in an hour or two. Yeah.
Right. And then what Apple is doing is reserving, along with that, a purchase appointment, because if you don't have an appointment for a purchase, you can't buy a watch. Mm-hmm. So if you walk in and set up that appointment and then come back a couple hours later to look at a watch, that's cool. If they have that watch in stock, then you can go ahead and buy it. And if not, you'll be stuck having to order it online and then wait for it to show up. That's mm-hmm. So that's how that is looking to play out right now.
So when you're booking those appointments, don't think that, oh, I have my appointment to try it on and I'll be able to buy it at the end. That's not how it works. You need to make sure that you get both of those. And they will book them back to back so that it's all sort of one transaction with one employee at the store. But you'll need to make sure that if that's what you're aiming to do, that is the way that you get it set up. Because I'm not sure we haven't seen how the appointment booking is going to work yet. So we don't know if it's going to automatically book you both of those appointments or if it's going to ask you specifically, but make sure that you do get both of them.
No, actually, we do know that it'll book both appointments for you.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Apple is going to be making this as seamless as possible.
Yeah. I mean, so double check that when you set them up.
Right. So starting at 1 after midnight Pacific time on Friday the 10th, you'll be able to book an appointment to look at an Apple Watch. And so you can go in and check one right away if you want and then decide if you want to order one. And then we'll also be able to start setting our appointments for going in to see one and make purchases on the 24th. And Apple's going to get a lot of money, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end up, just myself, I think that we're going to end up seeing the same sort of pre-order stampede meltdown that we see every time, regardless of when Apple pulls the trigger on the orders going live. Because remember, they've had like a year for the generally between iPhone pre-orders, and somehow the world still manages to take down whatever capacity Apple has managed to spend the last year building so that this wouldn't happen again. It happens every time. So I wouldn't be surprised if we still saw people who were having problems where, like, I ordered two watches, it confirmed mine, but I don't really have one on pre-order. I think we're going to end up with at least some of that. Now, the degree to which that happens, I can't predict, but I'm pretty sure we're still going to have some of that with this. It doesn't matter when they do it.
Well, hopefully that will be the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure they want it to be less every time, and it never seems to be a smaller number of people.
Yeah, well, we'll know very soon because we're only a few days away from pre-order starting.
And it's a good problem to have, to be fair. So good on them.
Sure. Hey, a problem Apple is having now that is not a good problem to have, which also happens to be the next topic that I wanted to hit, is this news that there are construction workers working on their big spaceship campus in Cupertino that were fired because they have either felony convictions or have been charged with felonies. And in certain jobs, not being able to hold the position because of a felony criminal history makes sense. Like, let's say that you have a felony for money laundering. Maybe you shouldn't be the CFO of a company.
Possibly.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you should. there are certain places where that felony conviction is relevant to the job you're holding. As a construction worker in a field where criminal histories are very rarely checked anyhow,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. So we have this big uproar that kicked up over the weekend about these workers that were fired from the Apple construction site.
I gotta stop you right there.
Please do.
Because this is not a simple issue. And let me start off with my biases. My biases here are that we as a society, we have too many people in prison. And that we as a society don't do anywhere near enough to actually rehabilitate criminals and to keep them from sliding back into whatever got them in trouble in the first place. We don't manage this well in the United States.
No.
No, we don't. I agree completely.
So those are my biases. And part of that is the fact that people with felonies often can't get even menial jobs, even jobs like in the fast food industry. A felony might be a problem for you. And construction is one of those fields where some people can get a job, that's for sure. But at the same time, with all of that as a background, for me saying that that people with felony convictions need to actually get a break and that we need to be responsible about this stuff. Even with that in mind, Apple does have a potential security concern here, and that is the risk of someone being hired to put bugs, listening devices, cameras, whatever, into this building as it's being constructed. And there is at least a reasonable argument that someone with a felony conviction has a higher risk of such things than someone without.
You know, the idea of espionage, in this case, industrial espionage, coming into play seems more like a movie plot mechanism as opposed to a reality. However, what you were saying does make sense. There is the possibility that government entities or competitors would want to find a way to spy on Apple to get at corporate secrets. So, sure. So I totally get that. In this case, the workers that were fired, they were fired in January. So this would have been when foundations were being laid. So these are people that were pouring concrete and setting rebar and things like that. That doesn't mean that you can't put a listening device into the concrete or attach mm-hmm. it to rebar. So here's the other thing. We don't know all the details about this. So it's very easy for us to jump to conclusions and say, oh, well, Apple is protecting themselves from industrial espionage, or Apple is being hypocritical, and while they're telling people don't discriminate, they're turning around doing the same themselves. We don't know what's really happening here. This could be a case where the company that is managing the construction crews is applying an overly broad interpretation to a policy Apple has relating to their own staff working in their own offices, and went too far and fired people in a situation where it wasn't actually necessary.
Now, do we know that Apple had anything to do with this or even knew that this went on?
We don't know if Apple knew that this went on, but we do know that the employees were fired because their felony convictions were not in line with Apple policies.
Okay, so this could have been an overzealous pencil pusher in the front office for the construction company who goes, oh, crap, and does this. Or it could have been that these were people, because we don't know, there's so much here that we don't know. We don't know if anyone at Apple had any idea that this was happening. We don't know if these were people who had been working for the construction company for a lot of years or if they were people who were taken on for this project. My first reaction was, having known people who do construction work, I know there's a checkbox for, you know, have you ever been convicted of a crime? Have you ever been convicted of a felony? And if somebody checked those as no, and then if it was discovered later that the answer was yes, that's also a thing that can get you fired. So my first thought was maybe it was people who didn't put it, because as Brian said, it's very hard to get an opportunity if that's something that you've got on your record. So I feel like there's a big piece of this that we don't know that isn't going to stop anybody from coming out and bashing Apple for it.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. There's a lot we don't know, and it's important to keep that in mind. But before we all start passing judgment, we need more information. Mm-hmm. And we simply don't have that right now. It isn't helping that Apple and the construction management company are both keeping quiet. Neither is making a public statement about what happened.
Yeah.
The union that represents these employees said that they sent a letter to Tim Cook and to the executives for the construction management company, and that they are in talks with the construction management company, but nothing has come of that. And that they also sent a letter to the state attorney general's office, and that office said, yes, we have received a letter, and is saying nothing else. So we have a whole lot of we don't knows happening in this situation. So while it would be very easy right now to start finger pointing at Apple and saying, hypocrite, mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair because we don't have all the details. Once we know more, then maybe it would be appropriate to say Apple's acting in a hypocritical way.
Right.
But it could also
I think the charges of hypocrisy are just fine as long as you understand that there's missing information. Like what we know now, it does in fact seem like there is a bit of a hypocritical that this is a hypocritical state. Doesn't mean we can't change our opinion, but it also doesn't mean that we shouldn't necessarily cry foul.
Right.
Because crying foul might be the thing that gets the information.
Sure. Yes. I have a little bit more restrained perspective on this right now, which is that I don't think we should be calling Apple hypocritical, but I think it's safe to say it's possible Apple is acting in a hypocritical way based on the information we have today.
Yeah.
And I am more than happy to temper my opinion based on whatever information does come out. I do think, though, that that it would be nice if Apple had offered some sort of statement immediately, although I get that if there's a possibility of some sort of legal action, they would want to be very careful about what they say.
True.
So in one sense, Apple is stuck in kind of a hard place here. But on the other hand, it would be really nice if we had a definitive statement from Apple where they're saying, look, discrimination is wrong. We don't stand for it anywhere. And this shouldn't have happened. And we are working to fix the problem right now. Anyhow, in a perfect world, that's what I would like to have seen.
Yeah, that would be great, actually.
All right. So we're like out of time. And I want to thank both of you for showing up and helping me work through all of these ideas bouncing in my head, and for offering up what I think are really great perspectives on especially on this whole hiring firing thing at Apple.
So Brian, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you, Brian, for being here. Kelly, thank you for being here as well.
Of course.
And listeners, thank you for being here. And head on over to the iTunes store and give the show a rating, please, because those ratings are great for feedback and also to make it easier for other people to find the show and join in with us every day. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.